Today, Jesus presents himself to us as our good shepherd. How we need a shepherd to lead us to the green pastures and to the still waters that refresh and renew our spirit. Jesus was sent from God into the world to do this, to lead us, to guide us, and to take care of us. St. Peter tells us today that we should know assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. God has worked this great transformation in Christ through his resurrection. Although he is no longer a man walking the earth in a visible body as before, in a far deeper and more important way, he is closer to us now than he ever was in the days of his flesh. Now we can turn to him in our hearts and in his sacraments worldwide, which he left us as to our Lord and Savior, the source of forgiveness of our sins and our salvation, and the giver of the gift of the Holy Spirit. After hearing Peter's homily in the first reading, we learn that the people were cut to the heart, and they responded by asking, "Brethren, what shall we do?" It's a good question when we are cut to the heart by the word of God. Peter answered, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now notice three quick points in that first reading. First, Peter's response is that they should repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. He points them to the sacraments. Then secondly, baptism is not just a symbol, it is a sacrament imparting actual grace and, yes, forgiving sins. Finally, Peter says that baptism is for them and for their children. This is very, very important here. Notice he doesn't say that this is for you and for your children if they have reached the age of reason and can choose it for themselves, which is again what many of our non-Catholic brothers and sisters believe about baptism. No, he says this is for you and it's for your children. Jesus has now been exalted to the right hand of the Father and has become the source of our salvation. Anyone who now calls upon him in faith and confesses his sins, particularly in the sacrament of reconciliation, can be saved and freed from the sadness caused by sin and imperfections, if only he thoroughly repents of them and renounces them, resolving to change his way of living and begin a truly new life, a new kind of life in this world. We should never let our own imperfections discourage us. As we grow spiritually, we will constantly discover ever more imperfections within ourselves, of which we were previously unaware. We are not to let this discourage us, but rather we are to confess them as soon as we discover them and make specific plans and resolutions to avoid them and to root them out of our lives in the future. Then will the great peace of Christ come upon us. Christ saves us in this way through his sacrifice on the cross, by which, as St. Peter said today, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. These great and saving merits of Christ's death on the cross, in our place, suffering himself our punishment instead of us, so that we would not have to suffer it, are communicated to us when we call upon Christ in faith, again, particularly in the sacrament of reconciliation. It is then that we are truly feel forgiven and made righteous with the splendid righteousness of Christ himself. Christ is the door or our way of access to all of this. He is the door into the new world of salvation and light. Ever since God raised him from the dead and exalted him to his right hand in glory, and poured out through him upon his church the gift of the Holy Spirit. In our gospel today, it says very clearly, about halfway through it, that the Pharisees did not understand what Jesus said to them at first. So Jesus said to them again, Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out and find pasture. So he compares himself here to the gate that leads to the sheepfold, or that leads out as well. I am the gate. I am the door. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. We'll go in and out and find pasture. So notice, that is the key right there. Jesus is not talking about an ordinary shepherd or an ordinary sheepfold or even an ordinary gate. He's talking about being saved. He's talking about eternal life. And he's comparing himself to the gate through which the sheep will go out in order to enter the pastures, in order to find that green pasture. So the pasture land is a symbol for eternal life. The gate becomes a symbol for access to that eternal life. And Jesus, in one sense here, is using a double metaphor, if you will. He's both the authentic shepherd who is going to lead his sheep out to pasture, and he is the gate. He is the way of access to eternal life. Jesus Christ gives us the salvation that all of us so very badly need, but we must cling to him. We must stay close to him, to the church, and to the sacraments. For he is the shepherd who leads us to the green pastures and the still waters which heal our souls. I had a conversation via text this afternoon with one of the ladies that I sponsored into the church while I was up at St. Joseph's. And she's away from the church. And I pray for her often. And today was her feast day, St. Catherine of Siena. So I texted her and I asked her, you know, when she is going to come back to the church. I don't really know why she left. I have an idea, but I don't really know. And she won't tell me. She's just away, you know. And one of the things I told her was, and she knows I have about 13 children and adults that I've sponsored into the church. She knows. I told her that recently one of the young men that I sponsored into the church died, right? And I don't know the condition of his soul. I know that he was away for a number of years. I know he came back a little bit and went to church. I don't know. But I impressed to this lady today that I texted with, you know, we are not guaranteed that we're going to have 2 weeks in a hospital being sick, time to think and time to ask a priest to come and hear your confession. We are not guaranteed that. That's in the movies, that's Hollywood. Many of us will not die that way, right? So I told her, I said, I just want, you know, now is the day of salvation. She said she prayed to St. Catherine of Siena. So I said, if you prayed to her, and I know you did, I know what St. Catherine of Siena said. Now is the day of salvation. See a priest and make things right. So that's my plea for me. That's my plea for all of us, that we will stay close to Christ and the sacraments always. Jesus Christ frees us from the burden of guilt that cripples our spirit. If only we will call upon him in faith, and again, especially through the sacrament of reconciliation, which he's given us. He is our peace and our light. He brings us the love of God in any circumstance in which we may find ourselves, if only we obey him. This is all really that he asks of us. He only wants us to obey him, to confess our sins or faults when we fail in something. Our obedience is our part, our collaboration with the salvation of Jesus Christ. By obeying him perfectly in everything, we do our part, which is to make him not only our Savior, but also our Lord, our only treasure, and our only true pleasure. Then we are to live only for him in everything, not seeking our pleasure outside of him. It is for this reason that we should attempt to live simply. We are to serve him with an undivided heart, placing our Lord above everything else, Then we can live in his light and joy and bask in the splendor of his resurrection.